I come before you today. And there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning. It's so good to have you to come out here and join us in our worship today at the Boones Mill Church of the Brethren. We want to say welcome to all of you, and especially to our visitors and guests. We say welcome to you. We're glad that you're here and hope that you can come back and be with us at other times. I would like to say that we're here on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, and we're just glad that you're here. We sometimes have people out in their automobiles. We broadcast the service out there. And so for those that may be outside, we want to say welcome to you in our time of worship as well. 4 weeks until Christmas. Are we ready yet? It's a mixed response there, I see. So we're looking forward to that, though. Hope you can come out and join us in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Today, I want to share a message with you called Being Thankful in Stressful Times. And I hope that this is going to bless us as we come together in our time of worship. You know, the past 2 years has been a cause of so much stress in the lives of so many people. More than a year and a half ago, the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 to be a global pandemic. And within a week of that announcement, millions went home to shelter in place for what they thought would be a few weeks, hoping that if they went in home and closed the doors, their sacrifice would stop the spread of the coronavirus. But after continuing for more than a year, there were 500,000 U.S. residents had died from the coronavirus. And while at the same time the nation kind of spiraled down into, began to grapple with racial injustice, and a brutal election cycle took place, and there was civil unrest. And then finally, after this long, brutal year, the doors were once again opened, and we began to believe that the pandemic was over. But that was not the truth. In the summer of this year, the American Psychological Association issued a warning about the impact of the stressful events of this long pandemic and what it's going to do to our people on long-term physical and mental health. And they warned that Americans faced a second pandemic, one that would persist even after the physical threats of the virus had been addressed. And if you talk to people, most adults have indicated that their physical health is declining due to the stresses of the pandemic. Many have gained weight, drinking more alcohol. Many are finding it difficult to sleep well. And these health stressors will likely lead to societal consequences. There's going to be chronic illnesses and additional strain on the national health care system. Now, after more than 18 months of the pandemic, there have been more than 765,300 deaths in the U.S. In fact, until the vaccinated number rise, and even those who have already contracted COVID without being vaccinated, unless there is a rise in vaccination, there seems there will be no real indication that the pandemic will end. In the midst of this uncertainty, And with the fatigue and the frustration of mandatory vaccinations and face mask requirements, people are boiling over and they're fighting, and there's unbelievable unrest, and it's rampant and getting worse. So how, as we come in here to the Boone's Mill Church this morning on this Thanksgiving Sunday, how do we maintain mental and spiritual well-being in this stressful, unpredictable time? And I want to talk to you about that this morning. When I was in seminary, there was a well-known stress scale called the Holmes Stress Scale. And some of my psychology classes, one of the things it was doing is what causes people who are under stress, what causes things to happen to them physically and mentally. And in this stress test, Holmes Stress Scale, they listed 100 of the most stressful events that people go through, and that when you are counseling people or talking with people, you ask them certain questions to find out what are some things going on in their life, because it's a good indicator of whether they are at a point of being under some great health mental risk. And some of those questions are a death of a loved one in a family. That's a huge stressor in a person's life. A divorce, someone moving, even getting married. All of these things are high stress situations. And on this scale, they discovered that the single most stressful time of the year is the period between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which we are entering into. Because people start worrying about what are they going to do for Christmas, buying presents, worry about all kind of problems that happen with shopping and the gifts and what to get and the money to have the money to buy the gift. And now on top of all of that, in this particular year, we're complicated with the problems of the pandemic, which is causing there's not enough workers. There's supply shortages and material shortages, and the gas prices and goods are increasing. And then when you add all of that onto what already is a stressful time, we see that this year the stress level is going to go through the roof. Stress is a real serious concern in our world and in our lives today. And because this is Thanksgiving week, how do we come here to worship this morning, and how do you be thankful in such a stressful situation, in such a stressful time? Especially when our health is at risk and the cost of living is rising out of control. How do you be thankful in tough times? Well, in Philippians 4, in the scripture we read this morning, Paul says in verse 4, he says, "May you always be joyful in your life in the Lord." Now, is that possible? Is it possible to always be joyful no matter what the circumstances? Yes, it is. And today I want to share with you a strategy for surviving that kind of stress. And it's found in the Word of God. It's found in our scripture reading. We already have it, but I don't know if you put it together and connected the dots so that it makes sense. But in that very short passage, we have the four keys to surviving stress. And they're very simple. They're very simple to list upon the screen. They're very simple for me to say. But they are not easy to apply. They are not easy to take to heart. Here's step one. Worry about nothing. Step two. Pray about everything. Step 3, thank God in all things. And step 4, think about the right things. So let's go right into that. What is the first step? The first step is worry about nothing. In other words, don't be anxious about anything. Now that's easier said than done, isn't it? We not only have pandemic worries, but we have now been confronted with global worries. It's no wonder people are so uptight in our world, and we turn on the news and we see all the bad things happening. You get up in the morning and you sit down to have breakfast, you turn on the TV news, and the headlines are shouting details of shootings and climate changes and hospital crises and nuclear weapons being developed and worker shortages and price increases. And it's no wonder we get stressed out. But the Bible says you need to worry about nothing. Here are some facts about worry. If you want to put it in perspective, a study discovered that 40% of your worries will never happen. So why worry about something that's not going to happen anyway? That's 40% of the things you worry about that you don't have to worry about anyway. And then 30% of your worries, they concern things that have already happened. They're in the past. So why are you worrying about things that already happened? In other words, worry will not change your past. All worries does is it messes up today. So you can't control the past. And 40% of the things are never going to happen. So right there, 70% of your worries are worthless. 12% of the things that we do worry about are about needless health concerns. They really turn out to be minor things. And 10% of your worries are insignificant and petty issues. They're more about personality problems that you have. And so, really, if you add all of that up, there's only 8% of the things that we actually worry about that are legitimate concerns. Now, that's according to this study. What I want to suggest you do for those 8% of the things that are considered legitimate is do what Jesus said do about it. Do you remember in Matthew 6:34, Jesus said, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." Don't worry about tomorrow. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Don't do that, the scripture tells us. You see, the key to reducing stress in your life is to live one day at a time. Today is the only day you have to live. And live it only today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, live today. Live today by giving that day that you're living over into the hands and the care and the love of Jesus Christ. So today is the only day you have. If you're worrying about anything, just hand it over to Jesus and then let Him worry about it. But you worry about nothing. It's interesting now, when Paul wrote this scripture about not to worry about anything, he was in prison. Paul was in Rome in a dungeon, and here he is writing to people saying, don't worry about anything. Now, if you were sitting in prison this morning, locked up, would you be able to say, I don't have anything to worry about? Because God is in control. Whenever God tells us not to do something, He's always has something we should do as a replacement. You know, He's not going to say, well, don't do this, without telling you this is what you should do. And anytime God eliminates something from your life, he's going to add something in, and that's what step two does. He says, don't worry about anything, but in step two, he says, pray about everything. So don't worry, but instead, pray. In everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You say, well, you know, I am so busy. I've got so many things I've got to do. I don't have time to pray. Well, if you have time to worry, then you have time to pray. And if you pray, instead of worrying, you will have a whole lot less to worry about. Paul says, in everything. Not just some things, but everything. Some people think God cares only about religious things, what we somehow label as religious. Is God interested in your car payment? Yes, He is. Is He interested in my headache? Yes, He is. Is God interested in the concerns of growing older? Yes. He's interested in every detail of your life. And the scripture says, pray about everything. There is nothing insignificant to God. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, unload all your worries on Him, since He is looking after you. We have to learn to unload our problems instead of worrying about them. Prayer is a tremendous release valve. And how do you handle stress? You turn it over to the Lord. You give it to God. Just let it go. Let God have your worries. Learn to unload your stress through prayer. If you don't talk it out to God, you'll take it out on yourself. Because when you swallow your worries, your stomach keeps score. Paul says if you want to relieve stress, here's what to do. Worry about nothing and pray about everything. Simple, right? Huh. It's something that you have to learn over and over, day by day. You have to do it every day to teach yourself to do that, to not worry about anything, but to pray about everything. Now, here's the third step, to thank God in all things. Paul says, when you pray, pray with thanksgiving. Always asking Him with a thankful heart. Now, whenever you pray, you should always pray with thanksgiving. Do you know that the healthiest human emotion is not love? As strong as that is, we're told to love God, love others, to love one another as God has loved us, but love is not the greatest health emotion. You know what is? Gratitude. Gratitude actually makes you more resistant to stress and less susceptible to illness. It boosts your immunities. It's the healthiest emotion. People who are grateful are happier than people who are not. So if you cultivate the attitude of gratitude, of being thankful in everything, it reduces stress in your life. And that's why the old song, count your blessings, name them one by one, is such an encouragement to people. Because when they sing that song and when they do that, it actually has an improvement in their life. And I think that's a good thing for you to do and for me to do. We need to count our blessings every day. And not just look at the things that are sour and things that are problematic, but we need to count the things that God has blessed us with. We need to go make a list, because it's good for our health. It's good for our soul. It's good for our heart. And we need to take that list and pray over it with a thankful heart. Be thankful in all things. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, it's most important to keep from misinterpreting this verse. This verse does not say give thanks for every circumstance. That's often a misinterpretation. The Bible doesn't teach that. It says give thanks in every circumstance. If you have a car wreck, should you go and praise the Lord? Certainly not. It's ridiculous. You don't give thanks for things that are bad that happen in the world. You don't give thanks for evil in the world. When there is a war with one country against the other, I'm not thankful for the war. The Bible does not say be thankful for bad things and for evil things. It says in every circumstance give thanks, not give thanks for every circumstance. What's the difference? Because in a bad situation, you're thanking God for His care over you, God can bring out of that bad, God can bring good. And we're not thanking God for the bad that's happening. We're thanking God that He's going to be with us in that which is happening. In every circumstance, no matter how bad it is, you can give thanks to God. Because, first of all, I know He has a purpose that is bigger than the problem that I'm facing. And secondly, I know that He gives me the power to overcome the problem. And third, I know I will grow through that experience if I allow myself to grow in that time. In every circumstance, even in the evil that happens in the world, I can be thankful because I know God is greater than the problem. So in everything, give thanks. Gratitude is a stress reliever because it gets your eyes off of your problem and puts it on the positive things in your life. And this is what the Bible teaches. I worry about nothing. I pray about everything, and I give thanks for all things. And here's the last step in the fourth one. Step four says, I think about the right things. And it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. You see, the fourth point is this. If you want to reduce the level of stress in your life, you must change the way you think about your world, about your life, about your situation. Whatever you put in your brain is what's going to come out. It's like a computer. If you put garbage in a computer, the results of what's going to come out is garbage. Whatever you feed into your mind, whatever you think about, is going to come out in your life. The way you think determines the way you feel. And the way you feel determines the way you act. So if you want to change your life, you need to change what you're thinking about. If you're watching television, for example, if you're doing that more than you read the Bible, then what do you think's coming into your mind? It seems like movies and TVs glorify the unhealthy things in life rather than the healthy things. The Bible says, think about the things that are true, noble, right, lovely, and admirable. Does that describe a typical TV program or movie? Not a chance. Most typical dramas are the exact opposite of that. It says in the scripture, fill your mind with those things that are good. It involves a deliberate, conscious choice where you have to say, I've got to stop filling my mind with this stuff. I've got to change the channel. I've got to open my Bible. I've got to put into my mind what God wants to have in me. You choose to think about the right things. Focus on the positive. You focus on God's Word. Why? Because the root cause of stress is the way I choose to think. Why is it that you can take two people and you can put them in the exact same circumstances and one of them is blown away and they fall apart and they collapse emotionally, and the other person in that same situation, circumstances, handles it with no problem? They come out kind of thriving, unruffled, as you would say. Obviously, the way they can do that is the problem is not the circumstances that causes one person to fall and the other person to rise. It's how one is responding to that circumstance. It's your perspective, how you're interpreting life. Your problem is not the problem. Your problem is how you choose to respond to the problem. If you want to become like Christ, you think about Him. You fill your mind with good things. And what is the result of doing these things? What is the result if you worry about nothing, pray about everything, thank God in all things, and keep your mind on the right things? What's the result? Well, it says, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your heart quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful promise. He is guaranteeing you will have peace of mind. And that's what everybody's looking for. People in this world, when you see all the things that are happening in the world, you really realize what people want is peace. Peace of their soul and their heart. They want quiet. They want rest. It's amazing the things people will try to do in order to find peace of mind. See all the crazy things people are saying and doing and searching, trying to find that peace. They run from one thing to the next looking for that peace of mind. But the Bible says that God's peace is a gift to you. You don't find peace by somehow going out and manufacturing and making it happen. When you do what God says do, God gives you peace as a gift. And it can't be explained, and it can't be duplicated, and it can't be fabricated. It's a gift. And how do you get that kind of peace of mind that keeps your heart at peace when you're under stress? How do you get that peace that gives you strength in the midst of a storm, that helps you be thankful when times are tough? How do you get that kind of peace? Well, the key is the last phrase of this verse. As you trust in Christ Jesus. It's a relationship. The Bible says it's only for those who have a relationship with Christ, who put their faith in Him, who put their trust in Him, find that peace. If you haven't done that yet, I want to encourage you to do that today. I want you to think about what you heard from God's Word. I want you to open your heart to Christ and to say, Jesus Christ, I've been trying to find my way through life on my own. I've been trying to give myself peace and give myself the strength I need. In other words, I've been trying to be my own God. I'm trying to be God. And Lord Jesus, give me the peace of mind that comes when I know that you're the center of life and I'm in your will. Well, as I close, I want to ask you, what's got you worried this morning? Is it the pandemic? Is it your health? Is it your finances? Is it your situation? If you'll take the steps we've talked about this morning and let Jesus Christ become the center of your mind and the center of your life, He will change your life. And you will find the peace you couldn't even imagine when you came in this morning that would be possible. If you would come and trust in Jesus and be thankful, you will have, we will have, what our hearts long for. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you that you love us and want to change our lives, and that you have called us here to this place this morning to speak to our hearts and our minds. Dear Lord, we come now for you to help us to worry about nothing, but to actually unload the worries we may have brought in this morning and give them to you. Help us to pray about everything, the things that worry us, and let us discuss them with you rather than us worry about them, because we can't do anything about them, but Lord, you can. Help us to be a more grateful person, to develop an attitude of gratitude every day, to thank you in every situation, and to realize that there's always something to be grateful for because you're watching over us. Help us to think about the right things, to spend time with you in the Bible every day, reading your word and filling our minds with your goodness. Fill our hearts and souls with positive things, not the negative baggage that's out there in the world. We ask you to put your peace in our heart. And I'll just say to anyone that might be here, if you've never invited Christ into your life, would you please say, Jesus Christ, I turn my life over to you now. I want to follow your plan for my life. I want to trust in you. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior because of what Jesus has done for me. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Because He's given Jesus Christ.